RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, we are indeed rocking our way through a Buffalo Football Monday here on the heels of a 23-20 win for the Bills in Cleveland yesterday afternoon. Mike Schoep has a couple of days off here in advance of the Christmas holidays this week, so Nate Geary is sitting in here today and tomorrow. I am the Bulldog, and joining us now on the Wester Hotline, you know him, you love him, former Bills center, host of the Centered on Buffalo podcast, and the Bills radio color analyst, heard right here on the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. He is Eric Wood. Good afternoon, Eric. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
I'm doing well. How did yesterday's game feel to you as it was going on? Because I felt like it was maybe one of the most annoying games of the year to me. Because I never really respected Cleveland as a team that could be a real threat. But, you know, suddenly there we're halfway through the fourth quarter and it's a 3-point game and I'm giving them the ball back. I'm like, what is happening here? What did you make of the overall yesterday?
Yeah, I'm with you. We've been begging for hotter starts on offense. We start off the first three drives with three touchdown runs. Now, they scored on their first drive as well. But I'm with you. It just wasn't that big of a concern, especially as the first half is unfolding. The Bills are up 21-10. They botched that field goal attempt before the end of the half. And you're like, all right, they're the Browns. Here we go. We're getting the ball after the half. We'll get back to rolling. We had one possession where we didn't score, and that was, you know, the Josh Allen retreat and injury and that fiasco. But other than that, we were moving the ball at will on them, so you just assumed this is going to be a runaway here in the second half, and surely wasn't. You know, the Bills go three and out on their first possession, their last possession of the first half, and then essentially go three and out or turnover on downs the remainder of the game. One of the three and outs results in 3 points based upon the interception by Daquan Jones, but frustrating day. The defense comes up big again in the second half where they were able to make some adjustments. And yeah, it was a fairly annoying game. And, you know, the Cleveland opening drive touchdown, they have a reverse, they have an end around, you know, a bunch of check down throws, two play action rollouts, get Shador in space. And it's like, okay, we'll shut this down. And for the most part, they did. Now, I felt like early on they were giving Shador too many just bailout throws on checkdowns to where, you know, he wasn't going to push the ball down the field. It seemed like he was confused as he scanned the field. And so we were giving him too many checkdowns or outlet passes. Once we took those away, really were able to shut down their offense outside of a couple timely screen plays that they had against our blitzes. But, you know, to me, I would say annoying as well, because you thought, this is a runaway. Trubisky gets some action. Let's get out of here healthy. Let's gear up for the Eagles and, you know, hopefully coast through the Jets and move on to the postseason. But it got a lot more interesting, just like these last few have.
Right. How it's another game where the run defense has problems. I mean, the Browns went over 160 yards on the ground. I don't know that I've ever asked you about their run defense, specifically as I'm about to now, Eric, because I feel like it's a thing that is constantly brought up because it's bad, right? You see the totals, the first half of the Atlanta game, just different games this year where they just cannot stop teams. Tampa Bay, you know, another game.
They were a holding call away from Judkins having a big run in that game too.
Sure. But yet, I feel like even in the games where it's been bad and the Bills lost, it's stabilized enough. Like, I wouldn't say the run defense lost them the game in Atlanta as much as the Bills offense just couldn't get off the mat in the second half of that game. They limited the Falcons to only a field goal. I wonder if the run defense just makes fans feel worse because it's emasculating in a way to, like, watch your team get run over and not be able to tackle. But in the big scheme of things, I don't feel like it's something that's gotten them beat this year very often.
No, it hasn't. I mean, the biggest concern to me is that we give up explosive runs, and Nate's right, that holding call wiped out an explosive that Cleveland had yesterday. But for the most part, you know, it's the explosives that are just, like, back-breaking to where, you know, most teams don't get many 60-plus yard runs, but I feel like it's every other week where, you know, we have a bad fit at the third level of the defense, or it starts with up front, and then the safety doesn't fit correctly, and boom, there's 65 yards, there's 55 yards. These huge chunk plays are a serious issue. You know, based upon the way our defense has been built over the years and generally having a top five scoring offense, You're assuming, okay, we're likely going to be playing with the lead a lot of times. We're going to have a great back end of our defense. We mix and match coverages. But this year, the explosives have just come at an obnoxious rate. Like, thinking back to previous years, I can, like, pinpoint the games where those came. The Jonathan Taylor game at home.
Right.
You know, you can pinpoint those. And I feel like this year, they're just coming at a much higher pace, whether that's maybe some speed issues on the back end of the defense, you know, playing well, but, you know, a Jordan Poyer who maybe at this point of his career can't run somebody down, a Tre'Davious White who at this point of his career may not be able to run somebody down, but it's the explosive runs that are killers. Now, give them credit, they generally buck up at some point throughout the game and shut the run down, whether that's teams having to abandon the run or they set up against it.
I want to, as a follow-up, like, part of what I see, especially from the linebackers, but it's not exclusive, Eric, to the linebackers, the term guessing comes up a lot, and it does look like when they are filling gaps, they're trying, and part of playing linebacker in not just the NFL, but playing linebacker is guessing where the play is going, meeting them in the hole, and stopping it, but like, on that play, Shaq Thompson's getting held, Shaq Thompson's out of position. And they got bailed out with a holding call. But I just, you know, to me, it looks like there's way too much guessing going on. And I don't know if that's a coaching thing, if it's a preparation thing, a mixture of both. But they're just, it looks like maybe we know what the answers to the test are, but let's just hope we're in the right position.
No, I think that's a fair point. So, there have been times this year, so we're a gap-based defense, and, you know, I know you guys hear Sean McDermott say that all the time. For those listening that don't understand that, our defensive linemen are generally shooting up the field in their gap. The linebacker is responsible for his gap, and then the safety fills in amongst that, and then the corners generally have the edges of the defense, and that's why we generally want corners that can tackle really well. So when linebackers shoot gaps, like when we would play the Carolina Panthers back in the day in the Sean McDermott defense, you know, you had Thomas Davis, you had Luke Kuechly, and you had Shaq Thompson. Well, they shot backdoor all the time, and they had so much speed to recover, and you're thinking, why can he do this? Well, that was his gap. He's shooting it. The three technique's still in his spot, so he can shoot this gap. Where I see some issues, especially this year, is – especially on the interior, guys getting washed way out of their gaps. Okay, now we have a backer that generally can shoot that gap behind it thinking, hey, here comes my tackle for loss. Well, then he looks like a fool when the gap goes in between them. And I don't want to oversimplify it because there's been many issues with the defense. Teams have gotten us with motions where the gap moves based upon an extra blocker to one side and we don't fit it correctly. And, you know, the converse of that is, you know, the teams that play with bigger slug type defensive tackles, bigger ends, you know, a thicker five technique type, and they're trying to two gap and then their backers play off of those gaps. Generally, in our system, it's a one gap. You're playing it, and it's mano-a-mano football, and we're not winning those matchups consistently, I'll say.
And I do think, Eric, like, that does speak to the archetype of defensive tackle that you've seen the Bills kind of consistently draft and go after. They are one gap players, and they've never really had a true, you know, kind of man eating two gap one tacker nose tackle. And like, even I've been actually pretty impressed. Deion Walker this year didn't really, to me, flash NFL goods as a one tack, as a bigger kind of man eating it. He has, I think, been one of their most steady guys on the inside, has shown more one tech ability than I thought he was going to have coming in the NFL. But you know, I guess short of the fact of the matter is, Eric, is they're not changing this concept now, and or like, they haven't, and they're not going to do it,
right,
going
this,
into the playoffs.
This is their defense.
This is what they've got. Like, so for what they've got personnel wise, I think it was a little bit of an eye raiser for me seeing Larry Ogunjobi out of the lineup, as he hasn't really been great for them, but he is one of their bigger interior defensive linemen. And like yesterday, they are got to be one of the smallest groups in the league playing last, you know, yesterday with that group at defensive tackle.
No, you're right. And Deion Walker is 6'7", 340 pounds. That's what he's listed at. But at times, 6'7" can get you washed.
Yep.
Because we're shooting for hips. You know, on our double teams, someone stands them up, we're shooting for a hip. It becomes really difficult to move a just fire hydrant out there that's, you know, 6 foot, 330 pounds.
A Puna Ford type, yeah.
Yeah, you give me a guy who's 6'7", they're going to make their plays, and they're probably a little tougher to go against in the pass because they're long arms and this and that, but we're going to be able to get some movement on those guys generally, and that's where you've seen Deion Walker at times get washed, you know, 2-3 gaps out of his gap. Now, I'll say this, we've gotten more splash plays out of him on the interior than maybe anyone else this season. Ed Oliver, obviously not being in the lineup, and Hoyt being out and all that. Not that Hoyt would on normal down distance necessarily be playing on the interior affect those reps. But, you know, I do think Deion Walker has been disruptive at times in getting those tackles for loss. And so, to me, you know, they're undermanned on the defensive side of the football. I think it's really hurt our defense that Terrell Bernard has dealt with injuries this season and hasn't had the mobility. Matt Milano isn't quite the athlete he was at one time. That's where you see Shaq Thompson come in and play a little little more physical brand of ball. He's brought something to the table. Dorian Williams as well in their base defense looks, but you know, they're going to more base defense because they understand, you know, with our limitations up front right now based upon injury, we need bigger bodies at that second level to try and hold up, because you know, those offensive linemen aren't struggling as much to get to the second level because of some of those injuries.
Former Bills center and current radio color analyst on the Buffalo Bills radio network, Eric Wood, on the West Hur Hotline with us, part of our Buffalo Football Monday coverage each and every week here. We do tend to, you know, I'm guilty, anyone that does this job is guilty of sort of focusing and picking at the things that were problematic in the game. We began this conversation with me describing the game as annoying. The Bills improved to 11-4 with the win. How about Greg Rousseau? Find something positive here. Not only did you get plays, which, you know, you've gotten a, you know, fair share of plays. The guy got paid for a reason here. This year, I think, with the contract in mind, he's sort of been in the center of a lot of fans' ire because there haven't been like game-impacting plays from him. You know, we hear about his pass rush win rate and how good he is on, you know, run defending on a team that's terrible in general defending the run. I have trouble really figuring out what to do with that. But yesterday were game-altering plays. I mean, it's a fourth down sack. It's a grounding call that ends a drive, ostensibly. I mean, he was the most impactful player on the defense. And if it wasn't him, maybe it was Jordan Poyer.
No, I agree with that. And to me, you know, pass rush win rate doesn't always translate to sacks. You know, that could be a quicker pass where they're planning to get the ball in their hands quickly. And again, going back to right now, the limitations that they have on the interior, there's generally somewhere to step up in the pocket. So even if he wins off the edge, there's generally room to step up. We used to always say as an O-line group, it generally takes two guys winning to get a sack to where, you know, one guy flushes the quarterback and the other guy won as well, and boom, there's your sack. So as long as two of us don't get beat, we shouldn't be giving up a whole bunch of sacks. Now, there's exceptions. I understand that. But mm-hmm. for the most part, that's how it happens. So to me, you know, Greg Rousseau was paid like a top 15 to 20 defensive end. In 3 years from now, where he's still on that contract, he'll be a top 40 probably paid defensive end. And for my money, he can play like that. He's great against the run. You don't often see – generally, when you see the runs go off the edge, it's not at him. Teams are game planning away from outside runs at him for the most part. And to me, he has had a nice season. When Bosa injured his wrist, his pass rush win rate went considerably down, and that's where we've seen less sacks. And then with Hoyt being out, Ed Oliver being out, we're not getting much up the middle, and that's where you've seen the Bills have to resort, especially in the second half, to a much higher blitz rate.
Eric Wood on the Western Hotline with us. On the other side of the ball, Eric, maybe before the game even started, I don't know how you guys addressed this during your roundtable portion of pregame, but seeing Gabe Davis and Keon Coleman inactive was pretty jarring to me. And considering what that leaves you at, it's like they couldn't wait to get Mecole Hardman back in the lineup. He ends up being on the field for two special team snaps, and that's all. Brandon Cooks with another big drop. I don't. Do you have even a guess as to what is happening with Coleman? Was disciplined earlier in the year and came back, and there's nothing really good happening there. But I don't know that he's, you know, a problem still within the, you know, the meetings and all the stuff, you know, being on time and whatnot. I really felt like when Davis was healthy, that maybe became a one-for-one swap. Seeing them both inactive, like I said, was kind of jarring. What were your thoughts on the choices the Bills made with their receiver room yesterday?
Yeah, I honestly think they're trying to figure out if they have something in Brandon Cooks. And after him having two awful drops these last 2 weeks on game plan specific play action plays that are set up, you know, that I don't know where that goes from here. Maybe you give him another shot, but I think you're still trying to figure out what you got in him. With Mecole Hardman, you're trying to see, do we have somebody that can impact in the punt return game? We're, I think, second worst in the league in punt return yardage. So do we have something there? You know, figure out if you have something with Mecole Hardman there. And then Shakir's got to be up. Shavers has got to be up just based upon he's a core four special teamer. And he plays meaningful minutes, obviously, on offense, and he had a nice catch yesterday. But, you know, there's Coleman and Davis likely are not your core four special teamers. And so he's going to be up. And then you're trying to figure out what you got in Josh Palmer. And, you know, I still think he's likely your best route runner and separator. Injuries have hampered that and everything else, but, you know, extremely limited yesterday. And moving forward, I'm not saying the Bills weren't taking the Browns serious and saying, hey, we're just going to experiment at wide receiver and see what we got in Cooks and Hardman. I would be very surprised this upcoming week if Gabe Davis or Keon Coleman. I don't think we'll see them both down this week. I hope that answered the question correctly.
Yeah, and as a follow-up to this receiver conversation, because, you know, we do have a scheduled allotment. We do have to get to receiver questions in the segment at the station.
They beat us if we don't do it, Eric.
Right.
It's awful.
Yeah, this is not our fault.
Yeah, that's where you guys make the most headway.
That's right.
That's where you make the national headlines.
I look at how this offense, Eric, has evolved over the last few weeks, and, we're seeing as much, if not more, of the three tight end sets and more Reggie Gilliam. And this is right now, and I think rightfully so, an offense, a passing offense that runs through the tight ends and the running backs. And I'm wondering how much of the issues of getting the ball to receivers. I saw Matt Harmon stat about separation. It does look like Palmer is still the team's best separator. And I'm just wondering when they are separating, other than the as you called it, like the design plays that have been going to Cooks. How is it to you a little too? The scheme seems to be more so built around them moving more towards a scheme that values and maybe amplifies the use of running backs and tight ends in the pass game and away from the wide receivers. And if that's the case, like, how do they find open receivers, I guess, is where I'm trying to get to. Because if there are separating, and I think Palmer is separating, I think, you know, Brandon Cooks is separating, how does this offense utilize receivers enough so that it's not such a talking point each and every week?
Yeah, I mean, the goal would be maybe you don't have to. And the only reason I say that is yesterday's passing numbers are likely not much of a conversation if Knox doesn't drop the touchdown,
yep.
James Cook doesn't drop the play-action pass out of the backfield, Cooks drops the ball along the sideline, Dalton Kincaid is called not a catch, looked like his toe came down inbounds, and then Josh has the overthrow on
yep.
the Shakir, which was a beautiful play concept. We run mesh almost.
Yeah.
We run mesh all the time. He looks like he's going to run it. He breaks back out. He's completely wide open. It's not a pick or anything. It's hard to get that much separation. And so all that being said, we might not be even having this conversation if we hit three of the five of those, much
right.
less we should have hit all five. And so to me, hopefully – you know, this is a recipe that can work. You know, there's times where, you know, yesterday I felt like Cleveland was just daring us to take a shot down the sideline.
A lot of single high.
We're going to give you single high with press man every single time. And whether it's a Josh Allen maybe trust issue or trying to stay on schedule or whatever that is, we're just not taking those shots right now. You'd love to say, if we need it, we can. But – you know, right now, the recipe we got, if guys make plays, you know, I think it's a winning formula when you have maybe the best running back in football, an incredible offensive line, a great group of tight ends, a great complementary group of running backs. Like, I don't know. I think that's a recipe that can make it work. But I will say this, I'd like to see – obviously production on the outside, because you think, okay, well, we're going to get in a playoff game and we need to see it.
Right. Real quick thought on the Eagles before we part ways for the week, Eric.
It'll be a fun matchup. Run defense better show up, because they're going to come in and I'm sure try and play smash mouth football. It's a very talented defense. I mean, Bulldog, we talk every week. I mean, and half the time I'm trying to talk everyone off a ledge, like, look around the league. There's not many happy fan bases right now. Maybe there's, you know what I mean? Like
Jacksonville
fans
maybe.
Are firing
yeah.
up right now, but now Denver fans think they stink. Oh, we've won a bunch of one-score games. And you know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
I mean, you look over at Philadelphia, they're, you know, switching play callers and the whole works. That's happening around the league. And they're an example as well, but when you look at overall talent, they got plenty of it over there.
Yeah, there was a moment a couple of weeks ago when I would have legitimately answered they're the best team in the league. And it wasn't based on the form they were in. It was more like, the receivers they've got, the tight end, the quarterback, defense. Like, I think that's a complete looking team that just doesn't look like the wires are all connecting the way they should. And I just always think a team like that will probably figure it out, but they don't have to. I mean, they didn't 2 years ago. They didn't last year. Of course, they eventually did. All right, Eric, thanks for this. Any special plans or just a quiet Christmas at home in Louisville?
No, we just host at our house. So we'll have family. I'll come over and we'll do it big with the kids in the morning and all that. How about you guys? Anything special?
Pretty laid back. My parents, 92 and 91,
wow.
will be hosting a traditional Polish Christmas Eve dinner. So, like, that is something we really look forward to. We help out a little more than we used to, but still, it's at their house, the house I grew up in. So that's a real treat. And then Sunday, my wife's family comes over, and I don't have to get out of pajamas if I don't want to. Or not Sunday, but Christmas Day, I mean. Like, it's the best.
Yeah. Nice.
I'll be there. I'll actually be at the game Sunday. I'm going with my dad. It's for my birthday. So every year I usually do a
right.
game with the dad. So I'll be in the stands texting you angry things, Eric. So be
yeah.
ready.
I was just going to say, this is your annual out of the booth, enjoy yourself at a Bills game.
Yeah, but
maybe
I don't.
Get one of those
but
one
I
day.
Don't. I don't get to tweet because, you know, the internet connection. So what I usually tweet, I then have to send to Eric as additional material for him during the game.
Well, I love it because I like using your tweets on the broadcast anyway.
What a team. Eric, thanks for this. Enjoy the holidays. It's a great time with the kids being the age yours are. We appreciate this, and we'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Have a great week.
All right. That's our dude, Eric Wood, on the West Her Hotline. His appearances on WGR on Buffalo Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We will hit up a timeout here, pour over what has been said so far by the Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who is meeting with the media, who is running simultaneous to our conversation with Eric Wood. So we'll pour over that, fill you in on anything you need to know on that front, and of course throw the phone lines back open if you have a thought on yesterday's game, the receiving core, the run defense, the AFC playoff picture, all of the Sabres who've won six in a row are in Ottawa tomorrow night trying to push it to seven. That's all fair game for us here at 803-0550. Nate Geary is in for Mike Schoep today. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You look back on it, I think it's pretty easy to say he should have been in there or shouldn't have been in there. We're rotating those guys throughout the game as two backs, you know. But yeah, game-winning drive. Do I want Derrick Henry on the field? Sure, I do want him on the field.
It is Baltimore head coach John Harbaugh. The Ravens lost last night hosting New England. Blew a, not a huge lead, but still, they seemed like they had the game kind of in hand. They fall to 7-8, and I think Harbaugh there is addressing Derrick Henry not playing in the final 12 and a half minutes or so of the game, that really they were trying to run out the clock and protect a lead in.
Well, hey, yeah, I mean, if you can play the small Keaton Mitchell back, you should do that.
Yeah. So is that, you know, I know someone out there, if we start clobbering Harbaugh for not having 250-pound, 6'2" Derrick Henry on the field to try to run like the 4-minute offense, they're like, yeah, well, what about James Cook in Kansas City last year? Well, that's the 2-minute drill, and they've got a better blocking running back. It's like a different thing. Derrick Henry is the definitive version of the running back you would want on the field to try to just chew clock and punish you late in a game where you're protecting a 3-point lead or a 4-point lead or a 10-point lead. And they chose not to do that, which was kind of strange.
I hate the Yankees, so I don't have a good secondary pitcher, but it's like having Mariano Rivera as a closer and going to someone else to close a game out.
Yeah.
There is just, to me, no And for Harbaugh to sound so like, well, it's, you know, not my fault up there. Yeah, yeah. I think we would all like Derrick Henry. It's like, so then why wasn't he? Right. What do you mean? Right. We all want him out there. No kidding. I wanted him out there, and I'm in Buffalo. Give me a break.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm really going to figure out who's in charge of this thing down here. Why isn't that guy in the game?
God, get a blight.
The guy in the hot dog suit from
Seriously,
Sunray.
We're all trying to figure out the guy that did this, right?
Oh, and well, so Ravens, 7-8, 2 games behind the Steelers.
Yeah, they're
now.
Done.
So they do play week 18.
Yep.
So that, I mean, they could still.
Steelers play the Browns.
Steelers play the Browns this
Steelers
week.
Steelers beat the Browns.
It's over. Right. No matter what Baltimore does.
So what a, and you know, not for nothing, but you know, again, if I could just bring the McDermott derangement syndrome conversation back, imagine a world where your team is not in this playoff. If you're at home thinking, man, only Josh Allen's there or only Lamar Jackson's there, and you're at home with one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, just saying, Sean McDermott's not the coach without his team in the group of, you know, first-time quarterbacks playing in the playoffs. Right. So something to consider, folks.
803-0550 is the number. He's Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope for today and tomorrow as Mike enjoys a little time off before the Christmas holiday midweek here, Christmas Eve Wednesday, Christmas Day on Thursday. I am still the Bulldog, and I'll be here today and tomorrow, and then I'm off until after New Year's. 803-0550 is the number. Zach got you what's pertinent from McDermott. Not to say there won't be other interesting things that he will say, but injury-wise, there's some day-to-days here. Poyer with a hamstring, Prater, who didn't even play in this game, Daquan Jones with a calf, and Shaq Thompson, all day-to-day. The Bills have a little bit of a different week. They usually have Tuesdays off, but my understanding is they'll be working tomorrow and then taking Wednesday off with the holiday schedule. So we'll have kind of like a tomorrow will be Wednesday, basically, ostensibly. We'll have McDermott again, and we'll talk to Sal just like we will in about 20 minutes' time here. Anyway, you didn't really need to know all of that. I just, for some reason, needed to spit it out. It was in my head, and now it's not. 803-0550, I'm better for it, and we all want
we
that.
Are.
We yeah. all want that.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the number. Greg will lead us off in this segment. Hi, Greg. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog, long-time listener, first-time calling in.
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. I appreciate, and we appreciate your support.
Hey, so I just want to get your thoughts on if the Colts clinch, or if they lose tonight, we clinch the playoff spot. What are your thoughts on resting the guys for the next two games? I know McDermott's not a big proponent of that, but just want to get your thoughts.
If they were locked in somewhere, I would definitely listen to it, and I'll bet McDermott would too. The reason he hasn't been a proponent of it is any of these years, they've almost always been striving for the higher seed, right? Not able to get to the one, but if they're a loss leaves them at 3, a win gets them to 2, they want to get to 2, right? And I would say the same thing right now. Look, the division, it's probably pretty far-fetched to expect either
Brady Cook.
Thank you. And the Jets to beat the Patriots next week, or Quinn Ewers and Miami. But you did just see the Raiders take Houston right to the wire last night.
Yep.
It's or yesterday afternoon.
It's a wacky league. In a wacky year.
Anything can happen. So I don't want to shut it down because, man, you'd be kicking yourself if you rested. Now, things could have gotten interesting if Baltimore had finished off that game last night, because that would have drawn you into a tie with New England record-wise, but they still would have had you. They need the division loss, but that would have made week 18 against Philly kind of not as important. You could have still beat them if they lose the Jet game or the Miami game.
Yep.
So then that could have gotten a little funky, but it didn't happen. They got the win. So I'm going to keep going. And even if the division is far-fetched, I've got concurrently, I'm running two different races. I'm chasing the division. I guess theoretically I'm still chasing the one. So there's that. Put that over there for now. Look at the wild card pool. I've been making this point for 3 weeks now. It's never been, to me, more realistic, more feasible that the 5, 6, and 7, the Bills will most likely be one of those seeds. All three wildcard teams, to me, I'm expecting very small spreads in these games simply because Denver, New England, Jacksonville are not, they're just not made yet, mm-hmm. right? So if the Chargers and Houston and Buffalo have to go on the road to play those teams, I think in some cases, like the Bills, I think might be favored. Certainly if they go to Pittsburgh, they will be. And so I want to get the best wild card seed I can in case mayhem breaks out behind me. If 6 and 7 win and I'm the 5, I'm in great shape to play another home game, you know?
Yeah.
And that is not nothing. It's not as important as rest, I agree, but the rest is just going to have to wait. We'll see. We get to week 18. If anything is locked in or probabilities are high, then maybe we will see some rest come in. But I'm telling you right now, if the Bills win next week and the Patriots beat the Jets, you're gonna be playing, I would think, at the same time as New England is playing Miami. You're going to be playing the Jets in the finale, and you're going to – you know, you can watch the scoreboard, and if New England gets out in front, then maybe you pull guys back.
Yeah.
But if you have a chance to go for it, you'd never forgive yourself if Miami somehow pulls a rabbit out of the hat for you. So I think I would advocate for keeping the foot on the gas.
Yeah. RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I just don't think there's any other way to do it. But again, that can change between now and 2 weeks.
And there is, I think, an argument to be made that, like, you know, Josh plays a couple of series against the Jets and it's a 14-0 lead. All right. You know, let's go off the field. But we'll have to, if the Bills lose on Sunday, then I would assume basically Josh will play one play and come out. I think for the most part, unless you're still jockeying for, unless there's.
It's very realistic that they still will be.
They need to beat the Eagles on Sunday.
Need to beat
I think
the Eagles?
So. Yeah, I think they need to beat the Eagles because I think they've got to continue keeping pace
yeah.
in where they want to be, which is for sure they want to be the 5 seed.
That's where I want to be.
Yeah, me too.
You know, regardless, I decided last week I wasn't going to be scared of Baltimore anymore. Because it's like, well, I want to be the five, but what if it's Baltimore?
Ooh. Yeah.
Fine.
Yep.
You might even be reasonable to be more fearful of Pittsburgh at this point.
Maybe.
But that, no. I mean, that's sign up all day long.
Yep.
Go play the Steelers in wildcard weekend. Thank you for the call. We'll take some more after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio coming up at the top of the hour. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog along with Nate Geary, who is sitting in for Mike Shope. This is WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.